The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody who contributes to the Patreon. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling is where you can support the show. We hit our goal like a couple weeks late, but you want to know what? Thanks to our eccentric benefactor, we were able to get Dills to Mania. And so begins the future odyssey of the Wrestling Fund, thanks to you guys here on Patreon. So go ahead, and if you'd like to contribute, go ahead and do that at patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Become a part of easily the best part of my wrestling fandom. That is our private Discord. Man, we're not trying to shove every little bit of news down your face. We're not trying to get 55 million people in a Facebook group. We're just trying to have the best conversation during live events and in general about wrestling with the best wrestling fans in the business. You can be a part of it for as little as you would like, as long as you contribute to patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this, prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
Oh, hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, from Austin, Texas, it is Willie Dills. Gregory, Willie, how you doing?
I'm doing good today, Justin. It's been a fun week in wrestling, and I feel like the next few weeks are going to be super fun to watch on the WWE. The shakeup has happened.
Yeah.
Things have been mixed and matched in brand new and cool ways. And, of course, we got to watch Roman Reigns get his ass beat. So it was great. Fantastic week of wrestling. Can't wait to talk about it with you.
We got a lot to talk about. Of course, the aftermath of the shakeup, where we think that stuff is going to go from here. But let's go ahead and begin with our preview of Raw. The WWE states that Braun Strowman will continue his war path, which immediately led us in the pre-show to just assume that Roman Reigns is going to start the show walking perfectly fine and
sure,
just letting everybody know it's still his yard, right?
Here's what I've already heard. He showed up on a house show since this happened. So he definitely no-sold the attack on a house show, which is fine.
I think that's for a house show, and I don't know where it was, but I mean, if you got a bunch of kids that bought tickets and
they want to see the big dog,
this is the first time they're a huge Roman Reigns fan. This is the only time that they're going to get to see him live. Like, it would suck. I'll tell you what, it sucked when I went to a house show in Sacramento a couple years ago when Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and I forget who else had been kayfabe fired.
But, oh, that's right, yeah.
But they were on
Seth
the B
Rollins
loop.
Had gotten them fired, right?
This was like a B loop house show.
Sure.
And like, those were all guys I would have liked to see on the B loop house show, and they didn't show up. And I'm like, all right, I get it, they're fired, but like, why can't you just have, you know?
Yeah, like, this isn't part of the storyline. This is just me watching some wrestling. This is just me getting to see the big WWE stars and as close to an indie setting as you can get, right?
Sure,
which I think
it's
house shows feel like.
It's not sending the people on. I was actually annoyed. I was legit annoyed that I couldn't get to see Eric Rowan or Dolph Ziggler. So I could imagine if they took Roman Reigns off the road, that would be something where we would be asking for their money back. So I get
people wouldn't be happy. And so the other thing too is that house shows that for people. So I remember when I looked at the thread, it was on Squared Circle. I looked at the thread, and a lot of people in the thread, which there are quite a few. It's funny because people talk about Reddit as if it's like a collective. It's like it's the Borg or something like that. It's like, no, there's people with dissenting opinions on there.
Sure.
But a lot of the comments were like, oh, my God, no selling the beat down, blah, blah, blah. And then there were people like, guys, it's a house show. Like, this isn't part of the continued storyline. The TV is what we're paying attention to.
Yeah.
Don't worry if he showed up on this. This has nothing to do. You can't think of what happens on a house show as, like, part of the canon, right? It's its own thing. People drop titles there, and then suddenly the title's back on the other guy later. Like, this has historically been how it works. It's
well,
fine.
And also, it's like, you know, they just did this with Jericho. Jericho got, you know, in storyline, absolutely destroyed by Kevin Owens after the Festival of Friendship, and 3 days later, he's granted on crutches, but he's wrestling in Germany or whatever. They were on a European tour.
Yeah, and the point you make is super valid. It's like the whole thing about the NBA resting their players, you know, like the Spurs Warriors play, and then some poor kid who's like a huge Warriors fan, ends up finally in the end, you know, sitting courtside in an Oakland game, but like goes to see his favorite players, and they rest literally everybody, right?
Yeah,
the two top teams in the West. And the wrestlers aren't doing that. I think we should be commending them on that.
Wait, like, that's
the
fine.
Big dog went out there after taking a.
Now, if he came out
bump.
Tonight, burner, 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 and just looked absolutely 100% after being murdered, like that would be something that would ring.
Can we talk about that for a second? That attack, because I've seen this segment many times. The backstage attack.
It blew up.
This was insane.
It was great.
I've never seen them go this far with it. Just every single time. And the fact that they did it, whatever, three or four times where they cut to Roman getting treatment. And Braun has apparently stormed off. And they're, he's back.
The fact that he came back with, I'm not done with you yet. Just
it was
great.
So good. But then, you know, it's like you think he can't take it any further than throwing him off the, you know, it's like a loading dock area.
Which looked fantastic.
In a gurney, yeah. And then, he's strapped in. He looks like he's just completely messed up. And then he leaves again. And then he comes back to turn over the ambulance.
To flip the ambulance. You know, it's something that it's only because I've watched it six times that I start to pick up on some of the inconsistencies in the shooting. But even then, it was so madcap. It was so over the top. It was so. Yeah. And also the fact that, like, Braun Strowman is somebody that, I mean, obviously he didn't actually flip an ambulance.
Wait, what are you talking about, Justin?
I'm just saying.
I saw him do it with my own eyes, man.
But,
I mean,
like, he probably, if you were to go through.
He did about half of the effort, I'm pretty sure, though.
I mean, listen, just how about this? Go through everybody that's ever wrestled in the WWF or WWE, right?
Sure.
He's probably the person who could come the closest, right? Like, even the other gigantic people like Mark Henry or the Big Show.
Yeah, Mark Henry dragged 18-wheelers, right? You remember that?
Sure, but that's not their specialty, right? Like, Braun Strowman's specialty is just strongman stuff. So just lifting awkward, massively heavy things. Like, he's done those gigantic tire flips and stuff like that. Like, that was his profession before he got snapped up by the WWE. So.
Sure.
I think it's great. It was fantastic. It wound up kind of going a little bit viral. I've noticed, and maybe it's just like some of the more random sports outlets that I read, but like Deadspin has been covering wrestling like one post a day lately. Like, there's just this, I mean, I know we've said for a while that there is this like weird resurgence in wrestling, but I feel like in mainstream, it's kind of seeping through a little bit, and this was one of those spots that wound up becoming just a much bigger thing.
This was like Vince blowing up in a limo type stuff. You know, this was it kind of transcended just the wrestling world because it was so brutal. And I think, you know, this was great because it really sold, you know, how much of an unstoppable monster Braun really is, right? And this means, you know, he can go many places from here. And, like, without Brock being around all the time, who really fits that role now? And, like, that's, I think, I think that's who it's going to be. Like, we're going to see this guy for the next, you know, 10 years being an unstoppable monster. And it's going to be cool.
Well,
I love it.
You know, it's something where before a lot of people gave him a little crap because he, like, went eye to eye with The Undertaker and then walked away. He went eye to eye with Brock and walked away.
But he, to me, that's like setting up something down the road, but also showing he also has, like, to me, he could go face. Even after all this stuff.
I mean, listen to the crowd reaction. I wonder how much, because I am Alex Jones with this, like, WWE is very, very specifically manipulating the smart fans, as they were, to get the reactions out of Roman Reigns. Like, this was my belief effectively from the brand extension on. In fact, take it a little bit further. From Roman's suspension earlier last year on. It is my belief, put me in a tinfoil hat, 1776 will commence again if Vince McMahon is not right now conspiring with the globalist agenda to make sure Roman Reigns is booked properly as a enemy to you. Those listening to this show, those on a squared circle, it's the reason why they made Finn a star in one night by letting Finn beat him, right? It's the reason why they made Dean a star and Seth Rollins, they heated them back up during that Money in the Bank match and then the three-way, right?
Like, sure.
They beat him or they bring him out when they know they need the smart fans to boo, because the only way the smart fans are going to be happy is if Roman Reigns loses. And they've done that a bunch of times. So
it adds to the pop. Like, that, you know, that was the huge reason why Randy Orton winning the Rumble worked, right? Was the tease of Roman Reigns. Absolutely.
Of Roman coming out 30. So
you can't set that whole feud up the same way they wanted to of Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, without using what they did. So that, you're exactly right. And this is a continuation of that. It's just super satisfying for all the fans, and I love the fact that I think these fans don't even realize, a lot of them, that they're being
played
like a fiddle. Right?
They want the people, and I almost wonder whether or not that was a boring promo or interview segment to begin with because of that, right? Yeah. That it was like, oh, Roman, he's not going to say anything interesting. He's just going to be like, oh, The Undertaker's a hell of a competitor, and I just think, you know, but it is my yard.
Even the beginning of it, though, it was like watching Fight Club, like the smack of flesh against cement, you know, as he like throws him against the wall. By the way, this is this weekend. It's still real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
We've got somebody who started a change.org petition to get the WWE to fire Braun Strowman. I just want to read you just not like the whole thing here, but basically, the WWE universe are not pleased with Strowman's actions tonight on Raw following his brutal attack on Roman Reigns. We want Strowman fired effective immediately. He crossed the line. And now let me just read you some of these comments here. By the way, the petition has been taken down, according to the guy who put it up. After having a talk with someone that works for the WWE, I need to take this petition down. But thank you for the support. All right, reasons for signing. One of these comments. My grandma fell and needed an ambulance, but no one ever came. They said it would have been the one Braun flipped.
Yep.
Rip grandmama, someday I'll get my revenge on you, Braun Strowman.
Well, listen, Braun responded to this petition.
Did he?
On Twitter, this was his tweet. I do what I want when I want, and your stupid petition won't change that. Hashtag no one is safe. Hashtag everyone will fall. Hashtag your tears hydrate me.
This is like... This is what's hilarious about this to me is this is like when Gallows calls people nerds. This is exactly what I think he's thinking is there's people who are like, oh, he's beating up Roman. I'm going to write a nasty email. I'm going to get a petition. And then Braun's like, oh, petitions don't stop this. That's hilarious, man. I love that, like, all this stuff is now so on the radar of all the WWE superstars. They respond to all the memes. It's great.
I'm sure Braun did this right after tagging where he pooped, which is apparently his other favorite thing. And when finding out that tears hydrate people, Jinder Mahal swore to never cry again.
He takes something for that.
So. He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see him on Talking Smack?
No, I missed that actually. I do know
Nobody out diets him became the thing.
Yeah.
Nobody out diets me. Nobody out not cries me.
He's
nobody...
cutting a promo on like people on the internet who are accusing him of taking stuff. Yeah.
I sleep on a bed of 40,000 ferrets that keep my body in constant motion even when I'm sleeping.
He's constantly doing butterflies. He is Dennis Reynolds, right? And that's the thing. You gotta understand.
In fact, he just rips whenever he wants to like make a phone call, he rips a phone book. Like, you know.
Exactly.
The man
is working out every moment of every day. That's all I'm saying.
No wasted moments for Jinder Mahal. Let's talk about something a little bit more serious. News from Japan that Shibata, after his hellacious 5-star match with Okada, might never wrestle again. Obviously, the headbutt spots in that match were horrific, but this is not something new to his match style. It led to something in the Discord that I wanted to bring here to the show, and that is, are we fine with headbutts just going away forever?
I am, but you can do headbutt spots without doing what they're doing. I think it was like Jack Gallagher's headbutts, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's headbutting you in the chest while slapping something. So it's like, it's similar to...
like a super
kick.
You
know, enziguri kicks and things like that. Yeah, it's not not nearly as damaging. But these guys are, like, bashing their actual heads into each other. And, yeah, it's brutal, and people find it incredibly entertaining. And you're right, it has been part of his style for a while. But I think right now it's like they're – and I get concerned. Like, even in the WWE, I was watching the match that ended SmackDown, right, which was a fantastic match, the three-way – or triple threat match.
For the number one contendership of the U.S. title, right?
Yeah, it was for – yeah, which was by the way, to have a match like that where three guys are going nuts to try to get – you know, just number one spot for the U.S. title. I was like, hell
it's
yeah.
Everything that's right about SmackDown, right?
Yeah,
is like, what could be our main event today? A great match for the number one contendership of a title. That's perfect.
And it was like one of the best matches I'd seen on Raw in a long time. There's been some fantastic ones. But you watch that match and you're like, you know, these guys aren't doing spots like what we're seeing in New Japan. But even then, it's like, compare this like 20 years ago, the amount of bumps each one of these guys are taking would be what you'd see in like a main event of a WrestleMania, right? Like they're, and that's just like, you know, the main event of the second show. And so it's just wrestling has gotten to this point where you, to have just any regular match, and we saw it in like these indie matches, these guys are taking like a ton of bumps, you know, and they're doing this multiple times a day, all weekend long or all week long, right? And this is just kind of the norm now. Do we also have to have people doing things like these ridiculous neck and head bumps they're taking in New Japan? I don't think we do. There's enough to be doing to your body already.
Well, and listen, the argument is that this is what the style is in Japan. It's what the customer wants in Japan. It's what people are expected, the performers are expected to do in Japan. However, this is a big year for New Japan. New Japan just sold out two of their shows in Long Beach, California. It would not be shocking if a newly free agent, Mauro Ranallo, would be somebody that they bring on along with Kevin Kelly to be a dedicated American announce team that makes their product a lot more English-speaking and American-friendly. Does this aftermath affect your enjoyment of the New Japan product? Will you look, knowing that now somebody that was at that level as Shibata is no longer able to wrestle, possibly forever, does it affect your enjoyment of those matches?
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, I can't watch death matches. I'm just not into that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And
even that,
it's like,
even that's a little bit more smoke and mirrors than you think it is, right?
Like when people blade and stuff like that, like, I don't really enjoy it, but, you know, like when we went to the ROH show,
yeah,
you know, Cody bladed in that show. It was very clear that's what happened there. But, you know, even that stuff, it's like you understand that technically it's safer than actually, like, you know, like what happened to Randy Orton in the Brock match, right? Like,
yeah,
that
which was a
is
concussion.
Much worse.
Yeah.
But it's just, oh, man, it's like when I watch people take, like when I watch, oh, so I didn't watch the entire match, but I watched like a highlight reel of this match, you know, and it was making me uncomfortable.
This is Okada Shibata you're talking about.
Yeah, because I heard another 5-star match, which is like Okada's second this year, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, you got to watch this, obviously. And yeah, it made me feel like I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying watching these guys, like, what looked to me really hurt each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could definitely do without. And you're right, it is a product that maybe the Japanese audience really wants. But if they're going to extend this to everybody else, they may have to tone that down just a little bit. Now, you want to see it to be, I would like it to be more brutal than what WWE gives me, because to a certain extent, that's what you expect from them now, right? And so if they're to totally pull that back, that might be a little bit of a detriment. Like, when I watched the Omega Ibushi match, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, so sick. And I told you, I was, like, texting you when I was watching it, like, oh, my God, have you seen this match? You know, doing somersaults off of the second balcony and all that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. But I don't need to see people slam their heads into each other. Like, that's...
I think, well, and that's that might be the line, right? Is that it's head trauma, which is where, I mean, maybe we should just have this.
He
rolling...
had a subdural hematoma, apparently.
Yeah. It's
like brain injury.
No, this is a problem. I mean, and by the way, this is the kind of stuff that Daniel Bryan is dealing with, right? And it's the reason why Daniel Bryan, why the WWE won't let Daniel Bryan wrestle.
A name that WWE won't even say is Chris Benoit, and...
He was
another guy who had the flying headbutt and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah,
so just leave your head alone. Let's, you know.
But at the same time, all right, but here's the thing. Plenty. That's easy for us to say, but that means, like what the WWE has done, no more headshots at all with a chair, right? No more pile drivers, although that's more of a neck thing than a head thing. But
your biggest star, like, you know, having his career shortened is enough, right, to say, all right, let's not do that anymore.
But even, you know, stuff that might insinuate head trauma, like the curb stomp.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so I've heard that stuff, too, is also to keep kids from doing it to each other, right? Because they know kids are out there copying moves.
But it's all part of the same conversation.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And
it's the conversation the NFL is having. It's the conversation, you know,
NFL,
their heads into things.
All the NFL can do is make it a detrimental element to your game if you do something, right? Or you can possibly get suspended if you're targeting.
Yeah.
WWE can control it. They can say, you do this, you don't do this.
Yeah.
But all right, we can leave that there. Something that we do want to touch on, but don't really have much to say. Mauro Ranallo returned to Ryzen MMA. He made mention that he is very excited to call people pro wrestlers again. So it seems like he is gone. I think that this is best of luck to everybody. But this is certainly one of those things that, holy crap, so much opinion for something that, I'm going to take a wild guess, is a lot more complicated than we have a sense on. But we can
it's been kind of deafening, though, right? Like, the silence from WWE about the, like, it's just more and more JBL stuff is happening that continues to get picked up by more news outlets, and they're just kind of like, meh. Whatever.
I mean, but what are they going to say? Right? You know, because also the big thing is that we don't know exactly what the Mauro Ranallo situation is, right?
Sure.
Like, we know that apparently that there was some relationship to it, but all the other evidence is coming from other things that happened years ago. So
yeah, no, it's true, and you know, like, we had, it's very clear that he is still a big part of the culture there. We had Mojo Rawley after his match on that was SmackDown, right? He grabs JBL's hat and is standing up on the announce table. It's like, okay, JBL's not going anywhere. Right?
Well,
like,
sure, and that's after he dives into his football star friend.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Which is like his celebration. Is I'm gonna put on JBL's hat. Yeah, look at me, Maggle. You know, it's like, all right, JBL's fine. I think there's nothing going on.
Nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to change here. So everyone could just not. We could just stop. I think, like, trying to, you know.
Well, yeah,
make another situation where a guy gets taken down by the internet. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, we have now a situation a lot like we had with the Richie Incognito situation in the NFL, where for everybody, I think rightly, saying, hey, it's not cool that these people do these kind of things, everybody in the Miami Dolphins locker room was like, we don't want to talk about it. We think it's BS that Richie is getting run out because we didn't like this other guy. We do like Richie. And sure, he did mean things, but that's just what we do.
Yeah, yeah. So I think at a certain point, we have to understand that we're on the outside looking in. They're the ones who are going to continue to kind of do what they do, be the product that we enjoy. We can't really apply our own necessarily morals to it. I don't know. I look at this kind of stuff all the time, like cultures that you're not really a part of, and then trying to like tell them how to do what they do. I don't know. It's a tough line. We talked a lot about it. I'm glad Mauro is like, and I knew he would. He's gonna land on his feet. Right, the guy is incredibly
He's
talented.
Great, and I hope he ends up with New Japan. I think that him and Kevin Kelly would be a great, great two-man team. I would love to watch English, like him doing English.
Yeah,
English
that's what's
commentary.
Really keeping me from like buying a subscription to their service is I don't get English commentary as much as I'd like. Right,
yeah.
You get it like once a year with Wrestle Kingdom, and then every other time I'm just like not listening to the audio, or I'm not even like, it's great when you hear the guys like, oh, no, 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 no. You're like, oh, okay, so he's very excited about something. That's cool. But yeah, it's a difficult thing for me to want to watch it consistently because I don't understand the commentary. And so having more English commentary would be great. I hope that they just kind of, you know, this year is introduce it for everything, right? It'd be fantastic.
Okay, we mentioned the shakeup. Let's project forward. Willie, give me the person that you are most excited is on the other side, that switch spots for one for each show. So let's start with Raw. Who are you most excited came to Raw?
To be honest, like, you know, initially I would have said definitely Dean Ambrose, but I'm excited for Bray Wyatt, man. Bray Wyatt moving over, I think this is an opportunity for him to be on the more story-driven show. Which I think is where he's supposed to be, right? Like the wrestling show, obviously he works there as well because he's a great wrestler. But, you know, he's a character, man. He's a that's his whole thing right now is really his character and the growth of that character. So I'm really excited for that. I really want to see what they do with that. And I feel like the Dean Ambrose thing was pretty good, too, for him because he does look a lot like and there was a thread about this on Squared Circle. He does look a lot slower than he did 3 years ago in the ring. Like everything like seems to be a little underwater or something, right? Like just all of his motions are just a touch slower than they used to be. And it might be him protecting his body, but it might also just be like wear and tear from having the most matches like 3 years in a row now.
I mean, that's the thing. He's been the workhorse, right? Yep. If you look at like all the houses made, he's been killing it. So
maybe he could be doing more character stuff. Like this is what I kind of feel like Raw is like. You could kind of separate the two now. It's like here's your character show, with a lot of story arcs, and then here's your like wrestling show.
Yeah,
SmackDown, and so these guys make sense to be on the character show, I think.
But. So, I'll say, listen, I agree with you, but if Raw's the story show, then there's nobody I'm more excited for than The Miz. I think him being somebody that can just write where he is now and the idea that he's kind of spreaded his wings a little bit more with the vignettes, with the Total Bellas thing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like he's closer now to a championship on Raw than he would be on SmackDown. And I mean the world title. Like, I think that... You can either slide him back with the Intercontinental title and he can run it like he did on SmackDown with a fresh crop of characters, or depending on where they go with all this Brock thing, at some point him just being the asshole world champion would be huge, especially, it seems like, especially because they're still doing the John Cena stuff.
Yeah.
We might not be done with him and John Cena. Like, maybe a WrestleMania next year or a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series. You know.
I'd really like to see him have another world title run, too. And I think a lot of people have been talking about that for a while. He's been doing the best work of his whole career. And, you know, in his wrestling, it's so funny because the big rub on him, right, is like he's not that great of a wrestler. But he's totally great. Like, he's not like a high flyer or anything. He's a guy who, it's all about the ring psychology and the storyline that he's building within each match. It's not about him doing like the craziest moves you've ever seen.
No, I mean, listen, he is super fun. I'm excited for him. Let's swap it on over to SmackDown. Who are you excited made their way to the blue brand?
Well, clearly Tamina Snuka. No, it's got to be Kevin Owens, right? Kevin Owens coming out clean shaven.
Yeah.
And, saying this is the new Kevin Owens show. It's very clear that I think that brand is going to be centering on Kevin Owens for a long time. And I really am excited about that.
I mean,
he's going to be right in the thick of things for like the next year.
You've got to figure that, you know, if you're looking at the core of SmackDown, you know, you got Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Charlotte Flair, and The New Day. And
sure.
I think that's hell.
Well, don't forget the lone wolf, Baron Corbin. He made a name for himself.
And have him step up, right? But it's just like shake all those up in a bag and pull out whatever you want each week.
Sure.
Baby, you got a stew going.
I mean, you've also, I think you have a pretty strong supporting cast. You know, like Rusev will be over there too. I think there's some pretty cool, like, there's a lot of great kind of mid range feuds you can have as you cook up the big, you know, as you say, pot of stew to get to your big, pay per views.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? I was watching on What Culture Wrestling, and this is a little bit of a tangent.
Sure,
but it is weird that we still call them pay-per-views, right? Like, they're really not pay-per-views anymore.
Well, they are still sold as
specials. I mean, yeah, they are technically, but the buy rates on them are so small now because of the network.
Because the network. I mean, whatever. We've called them that our entire lives.
Exactly.
Like,
what
are we going
to
do?
Weird
stop?
Try to change it. Yeah.
No, we're not going to stop. I agree with that. And really, I'll tell you what. Here's my biggest. You know how every once in a while when in sports, your biggest off-season move is retaining your biggest star?
Sure.
To me, the biggest free agent acquisition for SmackDown is AJ Styles. The fact that he gets another year to just dominate that brand. He's not going to get lost in the shuffle. They value him so much there. And now we're on a collision course for sometime within the next year. It's got to happen. An AJ Nakamura WWE feud.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
this year, man. I think they start.
You got
to
figure,
you know,
right?
Yeah. Like, I think we're going to see some sort of a storyline where the kind of Japan connection will be hinted at. Their past will be hinted at a little bit.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, AJ is kind of working as a face a little bit because, again, it's like you can't really. They realize, like, they can't get the people to boo this man, right? Like, he's just. Everyone loves what he's doing in the ring too much, right? So they're like, he's still like a cocky kind of douchey character, right? Where he's just, you know, I built SmackDown. This is the house that AJ Styles built, all that kind of stuff. But it's like that guy where it's like Kobe levels. Like, people are like, yeah, but that's, I love that. Like, he's confident, right? Because he goes out there and he scores 60 or 81 or whatever, right? And it's like, it's fine. So, but I think we'll start with them both being like faces, and then we'll end up having like a face versus face match where everyone's cheering for both of them. And it's like, it's not about the heel versus face. It's about this insane wrestling match.
Let it be for the title, right? Because I think that the U.S. title might come off. You know, Gabe Dextrada in the chat room says that, you know, the rumor is Mania. I almost feel like, if it is Mania, it would have to be SummerSlam first. Because, like, Mania is always where they want to put together either title and lesser or big and big. And, like, I would almost assume that they would say, okay, let's put AJ with Cena, or let's put AJ with Orton or something like that, because people know both those names. AJ's become a star, and then maybe you have Nakamura with the title facing somebody else. But if they have a SummerSlam feud that becomes gigantic, then sure, run it right back for WrestleMania.
You know, you could also at some point have Orton Shinsuke as well.
I mean, Shinsuke, everybody. Shinsuke. Yeah.
But I mean, like, if Shinsuke. Like,
I mean,
because
also
Shinsuke
Cena. Imagine Shinsuke Cena. Shinsuke,
I know, right?
Cena.
Yeah.
I can't even. I mean, geez. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of these daddies home they got to film, but like.
But I think we can all say for sure that, like, you know, AJ is going to get a title run again, but Shinsuke is going to get one too. You can have them feuding over the title after Shinsuke wins it, like, at some point too. That, I don't know. There's so many ways. And to me, it's like, I can sit here and try to book it myself, or I can just sit back and enjoy the ride and watch the wrestling. And I think,
and that's
to be honest with this, with guys like this that I want to see so much, it's so crazy how a guy who comes out and says, you know, five words just has that crowd in the palm of his hand. And Shinsuke is just like, he doesn't have to, you know, yeah, he can speak English. We know this. He doesn't have to say a lot. We don't need him to cut 10-minute promos. Like, just be crazy ass Shinsuke and do all the weird hand gestures and get the crowd riled up, man. It's great. I'm loving every second of it right now.
All right, here we go. We're gonna do our game for today.
Okay.
So everybody, I am going to be quizzing Dills in a game I like to call Big Pops.
Big Pops. Okay.
All right. Now I'm gonna give you two. Either acts or wrestlers, and you are going to have to determine who will win in a battle of the population of their hometowns, where they're
built
from.
Oh, God. All right. This is a geography test.
All right. I'm not going to tell you where they come from, so you're gonna have to remember. You're going to have to talk through this.
Yeah.
So here we go. We begin with a handicap match, player. Holla, holla, holla. It is the Public Enemy going one-on-one with The Undertaker. Who's got the Big Pop?
Oh, geez. Is it Undertaker from Death Valley?
Undertaker? That sounds about right. Sounds,
I mean,
about right.
Not a lot of people in Death Valley, as far as I can remember.
Do you remember where Public Enemy hailed from?
Public Enemy. I mean, I would think, you know, is it New York or something like that? Like, come on, that's got to be like a big place, right? Oh, man.
So who do you think? I mean, it is a handicap match. No Googling.
This is a deep cut, man.
I know.
I just want to look at Public Enemy's face. That's what I'm trying to find right now. I'm not going to look up the hometown. Okay. Yeah, it was like, it was New York, right? Had to be.
So you go.
Well, not
Public
to mention
Enemy?
The fact that there's two of them, right? So,
I mean, they're from the same place. I can confirm that they're from the same place.
Yeah. Okay. We can't combine their cities. All right. I'm gonna look. Obviously, clearly, if the two names were called today in a modern wrestling ring, Undertaker would get a bigger pop, but. If we're just talking hometowns, I got to give it to Public Enemy.
Talking populations. Big
yes.
Pop. Populations.
Yes, exactly.
Well, in a landslide from 281 in Death Valley, California, to 168,782 in South Philadelphia, it goes to... The Public Enemy.
Man, South Philly, huh? I mean, look, that's a lot of tough guys come from South Philly, so I believe it. Okay. I know there's wrestlers that were, like, labeled parts unknown, but I always remember Undertaker was Death Valley. And
he
that
was Death,
like,
Valley, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was one of my favorites, like.
Number
we don't get
two.
That enough anymore. We get, like, Hollywood, Florida, and stuff like that. It's like, where's the parts unknown guy? Height unknown. Weight unknown.
Number two.
All right.
And by the way, we are going with current populations.
Current populations. All right. Sure.
It is the new Raw commentator and five-time champion, Booker T, sucker, against Rey Mysterio Jr. Booyaka, booyaka. Who got the biggest pop?
Oh, damn. All right. Rey's from the 619.
Do you know where the 619 is?
619, I believe, is L.A. somewhere. It's somewhere in the Southern California area.
Okay. But
it's like Orange County or something like that.
Okay.
Because I remember I had a friend, George, and his area code was also 619 when I was growing up. And he was from the O.C.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna say Rey Mysterio's got a pretty big pop.
Pretty big pop. Now, Booker T.
Booker T. Is Booker T. hails out of, like, Brooklyn or something?
Oh, come on. Stop it. Honestly.
I don't know.
You're going to get fired from you're going to get fired from your own wrestling podcast if you don't remember the region in which Booker T is from.
Really? I got to remember where all the wrestlers are from now?
No, just he was in a tag team with the name of it in it.
Oh, Harlem?
I mean, maybe.
All right, dude, it's still the 619. Booyaka, booyaka. That's it.
All right.
The Brooklyn Heat. I know. You're right.
So here we go. This is Rey Mysterio versus Booker T. I gave Booker T all of Harlem, despite the fact that he is only billed from 110th Street in Harlem, New York. That is 111,000, oddly enough. But with 1.35 million hailing from San Diego, California.
San Diego. There you go.
It is the one, the only, Rey Mysterio Jr. Okay, so a lot of people are saying, hey, Booker's from Houston. I know Booker's from Houston. That's not where Booker is billed from. The Undertaker lives next to our friend, lives next to you in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, he's clearly
he's
not
billed
from Death Valley,
California. All right? Here we go. We're going old school. This is a controversial one. Uh-huh. Willie, because it's an intergender match. We don't see these very often here.
We're not going to have someone else tag in every time the woman comes in. Then you got to tag in the other woman. It's just we're going to go head to head. Okay.
They're just going to go head to head. All right. Here we go. It is JYD, the Junkyard Dog.
Oh, God.
Versus the Queen of Pay-Per-Views. Charlotte Flair. Who got the biggest pop?
Okay. Junkyard Dog, definitely. Man, I feel like every single one of these guys, I'm like, he's got to be from New York. Junkyard Dog, to me, like that, everything about that feels like, but, you know, that feels more like Brooklyn than like Manhattan. Not a Manhattan guy. Maybe even a Jersey guy.
You think, all right, so Junkyard Dog would be a Jersey guy.
I'm thinking Jersey, probably. Okay. Right? And then Charlotte is, what, like the Midwest, right? So.
Stop it.
What?
Stop it.
Isn't that Ric Flair? And then, like, all those guys were all, like, Midwest, NWA? Like, no?
Willie, stop.
What, dude? I don't pay attention to the
stop.
Justin, you are Mr. Minutia, okay?
I'm not Mr. Minutia.
You are.
Charlotte is not from the Midwest.
You are the guy who goes to Nerdtacular and wins every single year at the trivia game. I am not. I am not that guy.
People are threatening to get... You are going to get so much heat. So much heat on Twitter for this.
Well, then, okay. But then people need to, like, calm their tits down. Because knowing where people are from, to me, has always been a detail I don't care about.
It's fine.
All right?
All right. It's supposed to...
I don't care. I don't even know where you're from, Justin. Oh, no, I do. Because you're from Pittsburgh.
From Terre Haute... I'm not even from Pittsburgh.
I know.
From Terre Haute, Indiana, it's Charlotte Flair.
Oh, that's right, Indiana. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Somebody in there said that it was in her name. It's not in her name. She's not from Charlotte.
She's not?
No, you just said Terre Haute.
No, I'm joking. She's from Terre Haute. She's not
She's
from
Terre
Haute.
Okay. All right.
So who do you go with? Who's got the bigger pop? Who's got the bigger pop?
Junkyard Dog has the bigger pop.
Junkyard Dog has the bigger pop.
Next you're going to tell me, all right, the next one's going to be Austin Aries. I'm going to be like, all right, clearly Austin, Texas.
All right, here we go. Here we go. You lose this one, Willie.
Okay.
Because the Junkyard Dog, JYD, and Charlotte Flair are from the same hometown.
Oh, wow.
Charlotte, North Carolina, which means
wow.
The win goes
that was a trick question
to
anyway.
Petey Pablo.
That was a trick question anyway. By the way, you know who I do know is from Charlotte? Steph Curry. Yeah.
Sure, you know Steph Curry.
What's up? I know where somebody's from.
Her name's Charlotte. She comes out to from the Queen City, Charlotte. She has her name and her billing is in the same.
All right. I'm paying attention to the Peacocks, man.
All right. Here we go. We got two more. We'll do them quick. Legion of Doom. This is one of my favorite feuds as a child. Legion of Doom versus Demolition.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Legion of Doom versus Demolition. Who got the biggest pop?
Well, look, one of them is from Detroit, right? They have to be.
You don't know which one, but one of them.
No,
if they feel like they're from Detroit.
One of those teams has to be from Detroit.
I didn't realize this was going to be such a rich vein. This is amazing. Everybody, send in your biggest pop matchup. So we'll do this another week.
Listen, the fact is, like I said, I am not Mr. Minutia. I do not pay attention when they like. I know the Usos are from San Francisco because that's something that I can relate to.
Sure.
But everybody else, I don't pay attention.
All right. Then here, how about this? Let's not stress about it. Let's just go ahead. First thing off the top of your head, because again, you're probably, you know, all this somewhere watching VHS tapes when you were a kid, right? Like you've heard build from, so you just got to, I think you're overthinking it. Just spit out cities for both of them. Legion of Doom, where are they from?
Legion of Doom is from Legion of Doom. I mean, they seem like city guys to me. I'm going to say Legion of Doom, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
They're East Coasters.
Chicago's,
Demolition.
Chicago's
Detroit,
not
Michigan.
Quite on the East Coast, but no, I'll take Chicago.
Well, Midwest, but Europe. I consider anything past Texas East Coast. Listen. I'm from San Francisco.
Okay.
Chicago has bars that are open till 4 a.m. So does New York. Those are the same place as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. Okay. And Demolition. Where is Demolition from?
That's Detroit. Yeah.
Detroit. So you would say Chicago. So Legion of Doom.
Yeah. So I'm giving it to Legion of Doom. Yeah. Bigger city. Especially now.
Legion of Doom is... from Chicago, Illinois.
What?
And Demolition is from parts unknown, unable to get a census count. So Legion of Doom has the biggest pop.
What a rush.
Rush.
Like, I know everyone in chat is like giving me crap right now. I didn't sign up for this today, Justin. I did not sign up today to have a
don't
geography
get hot.
Lesson.
Don't get hot.
I was even
don't
talking
get hot.
About wrestling.
Don't get hot. Come on. Here we go.
I know
main event.
The East Coast is like five tiny little cities and states or whatever. I get it. Okay. I get it. People are like Florida, that's not the East Coast. That's South blah blah. I'm like, all right, whatever, man. I'm from San Francisco. If you start going to Oakland, I'm like, you're on the East Coast right now.
Nobody would consider Chicago the East Coast, but that's fine.
Whatever.
Nobody would. All right. Our main event for Big Pops is the American Dream Daddy, Dusty Rhodes, against, ooh, yeah, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Dig it!
Uh-oh.
Who's got the biggest pop?
All right. This is gonna suck because everyone's like, you have to know where Dusty Rhodes is from, and I freaking don't. I just know like he's a southern guy. And then again, Randy Macho Man, I feel like he's like an LA guy, isn't he? Well, he's like a Florida guy, maybe. Too.
Florida, maybe. You know, right. I mean, he certainly lived in Florida later in life, but of course, this is kayfabe billed from.
Sure. So is Randy like maybe was he ever billed Hollywood? I don't know. I feel like maybe he was because he was always like all flashy and stuff, but I don't know. I can't even remember now. I can't even think of it. I'm just going to give him L.A.
You're going to give Macho Man L.A.
Yeah, I'm handing him L.A. And then,
which means that Dusty would have to be from New York if he was going to have the bigger pop.
Sure.
But now also remember, a lot of times
Macho
like
Man gets the bigger pop, by the way.
But like we did with Booker T, Booker T's billed from 110th Street.
Sure.
So we gave him Harlem.
Yes.
Like, for example, Hulk Hogan always billed from Venice Beach. I would give him the population of Venice Beach, not the population of L.A.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying it's not specific, right?
Sure.
But I don't think he's actually from there, by the way. There's no freaking way.
Sure.
But I'm going to give it to Macho Man because Dusty Rhodes is from I know he's from the South, but it's not like Memphis or something, but it's like something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, name a random southern town.
So yes.
You want to say Memphis or
Well, I mean, yeah, I'll say Memphis. I don't think it is, but it might be. It's something like Memphis.
This one's going to sting.
Or Nashville or something like
this
that.
This one's going to sting, Willie.
Yeah?
I'm just going to let you know. Macho Man Randy Savage, you had correct.
Did I say Florida?
Is from Florida. Billed from Sarasota, Florida. With a 53,000 population.
They billed him from Sarasota?
Billed from Sarasota. But your winner of our main event, Dusty Rhodes, hailing from a town of 885,400 people or 885,399 before Willie Dills moved there from Austin,
really?
Texas. The
no
American
way.
Dream, Dusty
America
Rhodes.
See, now this is why I said something like Memphis, because I knew it was the South, but I knew it wasn't, because like, when you think like the, you know, you think Memphis, you got to think like Lawler and stuff, right? So
sure, yeah.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of wrestlers where it's like where they're from, I guess, is very important. I've just never paid attention to it.
Yeah.
Like never, ever once. Like they're always like, oh, it's her hometown. I'm like, really? Okay. Sure. like CM Punk's from Chicago and you know, like, cause like they just talk about the crowd popping for him and stuff like that.
All right. So this is great. I'm going to ask folks to, put together some and I'll just forward them blindly over to Dills so you can quiz me. All right.
Okay. All right. That all sounds right. good.
So we'll do that. Man, That was a much better game than I thought it was going to be. Thank you. I'll tell you, we do have one more thing to do before we wrap everything up. But as I find it, Dills, what do you got going on?
This week is going to be a slower stream week for me, but I will be on a few times. I got people coming into town. So, but check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillyDills. And then, of course, the Angry Chicken will be having today rather than tomorrow. So if you are a fan of that show and you're watching now, it'll be happening in about 2 hours.
Best in the business. And I have to say that I'm very excited that they set up those new tiers in Hearthstone. Because otherwise I would not have just lost almost every game all weekend at rank 10 and not been able to move. So I'm very, very pleased that I was locking my
What deck are you playing?
I tried a million. I don't know. We'll get on the phone and figure it out. Or I'll just watch the Angry
Chicken.
You gotta
play that Quest Rogue, man.
Quest Rogue? Is that it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I didn't lose all the way to rank 5.
God damn. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe I gotta get my stuff in gear. Folks, of course, if you want to support our Patreon, it is patreon.com/1900wrestling and join our Discord, especially Monday and Tuesdays. It's the hoppinest place on the wrestling internet. Before we wrap up, let's go ahead and review our Melodica challenge last week. You want to know what? I don't even have it. On me. So here, how about this? We'll play this week's and then we will... And then we will go ahead and reveal last week's. Here is this week's Melodica Challenge. One more time.
Man, he's getting good at these, apparently.
It's a little easy.
It's timely, though, too.
It is. It is indeed. This was last week's. Willie, you're not going to be able to hear this one because it's going to be over the computer, but here was last week's. That was Willie. Did you get that one? This was last week's.
No. It sounded familiar, and I tried to look up people I thought it might be, and nothing matched. So I'm drawing a blank on this one.
That is. Bret the Hitman Hart. So that was last week's. And by the way, we had a great. A great thing that we're doing now on the Patreon. You can find out what the answer is and get the download of the Melodica version if you subscribe to the Patreon the day that the episode releases. So go ahead and check that out. All right. Of course, follow me, Justin R. Young, everywhere that you follow people. That is Twitter and Instagram, Snapchat, everything. Until next week, any parting thoughts here, Willie?
Nah, man, just excited for the week that will be wrestling. There's a lot of great stuff coming, man. So can't wait to talk again next week and talk about my lack of geography knowledge. Looking forward to it.
From Walla Walla, Washington, it's
that's
Charlotte.
On the East Coast, right?
See you guys later.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.